Okay, hello everyone. Welcome our next speaker, Michal. He will be talking about Landlock.
Hello everyone, my name is Michal Sana. So I'm a mechanical engineer, but also do some user-based stuff. And this talk is about using a kernel feature we do develop on the kernel, Linux kernel, but that we use on a tool called Island. So it's about sandboxing and be able to help Linux users, terminal users, like developers, admin, and so on, to better secure their workflows. So the goal of Island is really to protect users' data from software, programs, scripts that may be buggy, malicious, or even exploited by attackers, and that by then do stuff that you don't want them to do. Island uses Landlock, which is a kernel feature, a Linux security module, inside the kernel, in the vanilla kernel. It is unpledged, so any user can use it. It's free, really, for everyone. And there's no risk for the kernel. And it's only about access control. So you cannot build containers with it. That's not the goal. But you can restrict processes within or not within the container, whatever. So to make sure that we are on the same page, the definition of sandboxing in this talk is really about restricting processes and to be able to control, to create a control execution environment in which all accesses could be restricted to only a subset of what should be allowed otherwise. So we need to create a secure environment when you can run potentially interested processes. So now a bit about Landlock. So Landlock is used by different kind of application right now. There are sandboxing tools like Setpre, which is I guess one of the more common one, but also MinJail, FileJail, and other stuff. And some example of library that you can use. To use Landlock inside your applications, you can use that in Rust, C of course, Go, and then you can use higher level application in C, for instance, with MinJail, and other way to describe C++, like for example, another Linux library which is inspired by Page. So I guess most of you might use Landlock even if you don't know it. Because the idea with Landlock is to make it available to developers and to make it kind of transparent to users. So for instance, these are a few applications, programs that have built-in sandboxing with Landlock. It can go from desktop applications to archive manager and network services. So the key Landlock features I would like to highlight is that first, it is unpledged. So this means that it is really available to every user on a Linux system. You do not need to have specific capabilities to be in a namespace or whatever. And that has some consequences. And one of these consequences is, for instance, that Nexus Console, which is enforced, security policy, is ephemeral. So it only lives as long as sandbox processes live. There is no persistence on the file system. And that means, we cannot rely on file labels because these are part of file metadata. It is independent from other kind of restrictions that are enforced by the kernel. So you can use Landlock with SE Linux or whatever. You can create sandboxes inside sandboxes because, for instance, you might have your user session which is sandboxed with Landlock. And inside this session, you might also want to launch different applications that might sandbox themselves, or you might want to create your own sandbox environment and so on. And of course, the kernel gives some security guarantees, And for instance, you cannot, once a process is sandboxed, you cannot escape this sandbox, well, just ask the kernel to just cancel the sandbox. Otherwise, that would be useless. And yeah, I also want to highlight that Lanlock is about access control. So it is not about changing what process can see, but if a process can access a file or not, if processes can open a connection to outside sandbox or not. And yeah, it really fits to the kernel semantic, so it can load files, sockets, and processes kind of stuff. And yeah, once again, it is orthogonal to other kernel mechanisms like namespaces, access control, C groups, or whatever. You can use all together there. And you should use different mechanisms at the same time. So how does it work? Well, it's really simple. You create a sandbox, then you kind of drop some privileges, and whatever you do after that will just might be allowed or not according to what you defined earlier. And that is possible thanks to three dedicated syscalls. So it's either Lanlock create rule set, Lanlock add rule to populate the rule set, and then Lanlock restrict self to restrict the current thread according to a given rule set. These are kind of the tools which are available to developers, and that enables them to create sandbox for a specific process. And then once this process is sandboxed, all the restrictions are inherited across new threads, new processes, and new executions. Right now, there are two kinds of restrictions. Some of them are implicit, mostly to be able to avoid that the process bypass sandbox. So for instance, to tamper to the process, to another process, and ask another process to do stuff that it cannot do itself. And there are also explicit access rights, which is a way to express a security policy for the file system, network, and other kind of IPC mechanisms. There are mainly two use cases. The first one is about integrating something into an application, into the code of an application, in a way that it is kind of transparent to users. They just use the applications, and it's on by itself, it works, nothing is visible, and everything is fine. There's no extra confession to manage. So that applies really well for complex applications that deal with untrusted data, like parser, for instance, web browsers, and network services. The second use case is to sandbox what might be untrusted programs. So in this case, you might not own or want to change the code of a program, but you still want to restrict its execution. In this case, you want to create a security environment, sandbox, and then in this environment, launch a new process. So possible conditions are in systems, they launch services, container runtimes, they launch processes, and sandboxer tools. So in this talk, we talk about a new sandboxer tool called Island. Last word about Lanlock is that it is gaining more and more features over time. It's definitely not, it cannot block anything, block everything, I mean. And it's getting more and more features over time with new kernel releases. So here are a list of the initial features available since Linux 5.13. And over time, we implemented a new features to restrict more and more stuff. But of course, it is the developer or the user that can ask whatever they want to use or not. Island. Why Island? So Lanlock is a kernel feature, a set of three syscalls, and it is useful by developers. But as a Linux end user, you might not want to always to code, to just run application in secure environment. So that's why we need some tools, some making tools, some boxes. And the goal of Island is really to make it, to make Lanlock easy to use for most Linux users. So it acts as high-level wrapper and policy manager. Island is designed to be available to everyone again. but in this case, mostly using terminal, CLSAY. And well, to make it simple to use, to not think about which command should I sandbox or not, but to configure one set of security policies for one set of programs, and then to just do your work as you do without thinking about that. So the main properties are, as I say, this is, well, sandboxer, so there's no code changes from user point of view. It is based on a set of configuration files, and this configuration file we'll see later have good properties. They're declarative, flexible, and made in a way, designed in a way that make them easily shareable with other users, other communities, other coworkers, and so on. One of the important properties of Aiden is that it is kind of context-aware. Initial, it can trigger a sandbox or not according to the working the directory you're working on. We'll see later in a demo. And once a sandbox is created, it is not only about landlock restrictions, but also about other stuff which are useful for, well, applications. For instance, to set environment variable and to prepare well, a set of file keys which are dedicated per sandbox. So let's see a demo to make it a bit more clear. In this case, so I installed Island. You'll see later what there's all the documentation on the GitHub. And one important point is that I'm using ZSH because there's some hook implemented for this Pythic shell, which make it possible. So I'm a simple user. I have a few projects. I don't have any profile, sandbox profile yet, but I have a few projects. So let's say, well, I have the full project, and I want to create a sandbox profile for whatever I will do in this project. And, well, that might have some dependencies. So let's say there's also the bar directory, which is also part of this full project. So this command will create a new log profile. So it will just populate a few files on the home directory that will describe a sandbox with default properties. And then after that, we can change this file, of course. In this case, it's pretty simple. Just create a new profile, new sandbox. And in this case, we specify two directories. Well, by default, if you don't have a dash B is means beneath. So files beneath the directory. If you don't specify that, by default, you take the current working directory. But in this case, I want to add two directories. So the current one, project foo, and the project bar directory. So I create that. So the file I created in this directory, you can see. And the sandbox will be applied for the two directories I define. And because I'm already in one of them, and the DDSH hooks are already enforced, well, the sandbox is ready to be launched. It is not launched yet, which means the shell is not sandbox itself, but every command that I will launch from this directory will be automatic sandbox with the profile I just created. So in practice, and by default, the default profile which is created allow executing whatever you install in the system, so whatever is in slash USR bin, for instance, and you can mostly write on the directory which are tied to this profile. So in this case, the foo and the bar directories. So I can see what the content of the directory. That's good, I have makefile. But for instance, I cannot see the content of the parent directory, right? So it's a bit special, and how it works is that when ls is launched, it creates a new process, and this process is automatically sandboxed by Island on the fly. And because the sandbox cannot access processes outside of the foo directory, well, it cannot open the directory. But if I want to go, because I trust myself and I trust my shell, I can go outside of the directory and do whatever I want to. So I can get back and see what's inside and so on. And whenever I jump into a directory which is configured to be sandboxed, everything that I will launch in this directory will be sandboxed. And for instance, well, let's say I just download a project somewhere, an open source one. I did not read the makefile, but I still want to build it. Well, in this case, well, I will get some error, and well, that might be weird, a bit weird. Well, it's a bit explicit for this demo, but in a nutshell, what does this makefile is that it reads your private SSH key. So, of course, a real attack will not be that explicit. It will be like really stealth and just leak your SSH keys to the network, but that's the idea. In this case, well, that is blocked because make is launched in a sandbox automatically. And anything which is launched by make, in this case cat, cannot read what's outside of the sandbox. And if I do the same with the directory which is not sandbox, and if I have the same make file, of course, that will just dump my private SSH key. Okay. And how does it work? And does it work with other programs and so on? The thing is, it not just only creates sandbox with Nanlock, but it creates really an execution environment. And that includes, for instance, a few variables which are set, which are dedicated per sandbox. In this case, you'll see, for instance, this XDG environment variables are set for the specific sandbox. So you can see project FUBA here, which I created. That's the same for the configuration files by default, so that should be used by most modern applications, most modern programs, and for some data and some other stuff. And that's the case for the TMP directory. So there's a dedicated directory which is created per sandbox for TMP files. And by default can be accessed. But of course, if you just want to read the, if the shell reads this environment variable, you will not get the same value because it's not sandbox itself, right? So, and this works because the env program is launched and then sandbox, so it gets a different set of environment variables. That's why it works well, and it's kind of a really need to have scan environments. In a nutshell, the configuration files are here. So you set a new directory per project. In this directory, you have a file that defines when this sandbox will be activated or not. And then you have a file which defines security rules. And then you have a set of symlinks, which can be changed to full directories if you want, that are by default created for this specific sandbox. Okay, so I'll go quickly through the current limitations. So right now, if you're using that on, let's say, a recent modern desktop, you might not have full isolation because there are some use services that might be called by any processes inside this session. And that's the same for TMX because, we can use sockets to cool this kind of stuff and execute outside of sandbox. So that's okay. That will be handled with upcoming kind of versions. So the thing is, Nanlock will get more and more feature over time. But it's really interesting to have this kind of feature and to get ready to use it, to create your own profiles and security policies. Even for normal use cases without running malicious or interested processes, programs, it might be useful to create a simple environment for developments to have your own security, your own configuration files for your own build system or whatever you want. I'll go really quickly on the Nanlock config file format. So that's the format you use to define a security policy. So in Excel, you can have a set of variables to make it kind of flexible, and then define set of files that you might want to allow to, in this case, /bin and so on, to be able to read and execute the content of the file hierarchies. and other file keys that you want to be able to read and write into them. So for instance, the tempi directories and directory which is specific to the user, for instance. So yeah, there's a full documentation for that. There are really nice properties. You can share these files. It is declarative, deterministic, and you can create independent configurations. And it's, yeah, it's really flexible to use. You can compose them, which is kind of specific, but pretty useful if you want to share them again. And yeah, so time's up. I'll wrap up. You can try Island. I will just give you a QR code later. That's a few lines you have to type to install it for your user session. In a shell, Island is designed to protect you, to protect users that want to be protected. It's dedicated to Linux users, and the idea is to make it easier to use and not to think about submitting when you configured your security policies. That's it. Thank you.
We've got 2 minutes for questions, so Yancy first.
So is it based on the current working directory of the process that's being launched? So for example, if you're in the parent directory of the directory that contains that make file and you do like make dash F, you know, and then, you know, the subdirectory, so you're outside the island, but then the file's inside the island, it's the current, the actual policy being applied to the process is based on the current working directory, which is outside of the island, correct?
Yeah, so the idea is that the user is trusted because it wants to protect itself. And so that's a way to make it easy to use Sandbox. So another way to use Island is to go Island, run in your program. But by default, so how it works is that it just take into account the shell take into account the current working directory, and according to the directory, look for an existing Sandbox file that matches the directory. So whatever you launch when in your shell you are in the directory will be Sandbox. If you launch it outside of the directory, it will not be the Sandbox. By default, I mean.
Okay, so in that case, like, in practice, you would probably want to go into that your island directory and then run your shell,
yeah.
And then you're properly isolated for
the shell
itself.
The idea is to go to your workspace for your project and do that, do whatever you want, you need to build whatever, and then switch another directory, and you will automatically switch to another profile.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. How well does it integrate with like system processes and systemd in particular? Can I use it to ditch like protected system was a SecCom based and run my system services through systemd with Island?
So that working request to integrate LANlock within systemd using the same configuration file formats, but it is another project. It's not based on Island. Island is only the sandbox tool, and the systemd will use, well, the idea is to make it use the same file format, but not Island, because Island is only for user-facing interface.
Okay, so we are out of time. Thank you for the question. Thank you for the talk.
Thank you.